Are you keeping the Sabbath day holy? Welcome to the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. I'm Pastor Schulze. This broadcast comes to you every week at this time over the station. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray for the anointing of the Spirit of the Lord upon this broadcast. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now, dear ones, today we continue our study in the Gospel of Mark. I want to read to you from the third chapter, the story where Jesus healed a man who had a withered hand. It says, "And he," that is Jesus, "entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he says unto the man which had a withered hand, Stand forth. And he says unto them, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he says unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other." Did you notice? This message begins with these words, "And he entered again into the synagogue." Notice the word "again." In the first phrase of this chapter, we learned that Jesus observed the Sabbath day by going to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. It says he entered again into the synagogue. Now, the synagogue of old represents the church to us today. It's a place of meeting. And the Sabbath day of old has now become the Christian Sabbath day, which is our Sunday. So then we can say Jesus entered again into the church building on Sunday. I want you to know that this day, that at the core of keeping the Sabbath day holy, which is a fourth commandment, was and is going to church. You cannot rightfully consider yourself a follower of Jesus if on Sundays you don't go to church. God, through Moses, gave us 10 commandments, and none of these 10 commandments are negotiable, retractable, or limited to a certain time or age on earth. Many laws that God gave to Moses were given only to be practiced by the Jews and only for a certain amount of time. But the 10 commandments were given to all mankind as long as man shall stand on the earth. The 10 commandments will never be amended or done away with. For example, it'll never be right to steal. It'll never be right to murder. It'll never be right to commit adultery. It'll never be right for children to be disrespectful towards their parents. And it will never be right not to keep the Sabbath day holy. Jesus was not about to violate any of these 10 commandments. The keeping of the 10 is not only good for men spiritually, but also socially. Keeping the 10 commandments will prevent the breakup of families. My friend, you won't have a family breakup when father and mother are faithful to each other, when neither one commits adultery. You won't have a breakup and heartache in a family when children obey their parents. The smallest social unit in any nation is a family. And what a brick is to a building, that, my friend, is a family to a nation. If a brick in a building becomes brittle, the whole building is in jeopardy and danger. The 10 commandments are also good for commerce. They're good for economics. Or wherever the 10 commandments are kept, commerce and industry prosper. But a nation where the 10 commandments are slighted, you have corruption, you have unreliability, you have a lack of credibility, and you have crime out of control. No nation wants to do business with any other nation that does not honor the 10 commandments, because if a nation does not keep the 10 commandments, if she allows stealing and murder and false witness and lying, my friend, you can't do business with such a nation. So God gave the 10 commandments for our own good, for the good of all nations, for all time. And Jesus, the Son of God, by keeping all 10 commandments, reinforced the importance of these commandments. Now, We go back to verse 1. It says, "And he entered into the synagogue." Again, at the heart of keeping the Sabbath day then, my friend, is going to church. And if you're a follower of Jesus, you'll make it your number one priority to get there every Sunday. But now, dear one, what is the church? In my 67 years, I heard several people say, "Pastor Schulze, I go to church every Sunday, but I get nothing out of it. Church is just a performance, it's just a ritual, and hardly anybody there really means business with God." My friend, if such is the case indeed, then you don't go to church. You think you do, but you are not. Let's see what Jesus says a church is. And that gets us to the 18th chapter of Matthew. And there, in verse 20, Jesus says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." So church, in its most primitive form, is where at least two people come together in the name of Jesus, Jesus being in their midst. The Amplified Bible puts this a little better yet. It says, "For wherever two or three are drawn together as my followers into my name, there I am in the midst of them." Now, Jesus said, that's church. The primary ingredients here of what Jesus calls church is people who are followers of Jesus, people who have put themselves under Jesus' authority, coming together to let Jesus have his way with them. So forget about church buildings, steeples, stained glass windows, pews, pulpits, choirs. Forget about boards and committees and think of church as people being with Jesus. If you have not been with people who had Jesus' presence last Sunday in their midst, you have not been in church last Sunday. A building, a program, a ritual does not make a church. So if you're going to a place where Jesus is not present on Sundays, you are not going to church as far as Jesus is concerned. If he's not there, you have no church. And you better go out and look for some other place where Jesus is at so you can have church. Now then, we deduct from that we don't need a churchy-looking building to have church. We might be able to have church in a storefront, in a garage, or in somebody's backyard, or in somebody's living room, or a business office. So when I talk about you need to be in church on Sunday now, you know what I mean by that. You and other believers need to be together with Jesus. Now, however, let me give you a word of caution here. There are many little group meetings in garages and homes and office buildings, and they think they are a church. But, my friend, if they are there out of rebellion to their pastor, out of a spirit of division, they are not a church either. If they are nothing but a collection of complainers and church troublemakers, they are not a church either. Jesus will not attend their meetings. So let me go a little further yet. With some of these little groups, if you have Jesus with you in that little group, you have church. But it won't be long that Jesus will want you to have a pastor. Now you say, "We don't want to have a pastor. We can do without one." Well, Jesus says you need to have a pastor. So as soon as possible, you ought to pray to get a pastor. I want to take you to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. There the Apostle Paul says, "And he, that is God, gave some apostles, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints and for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." So there, friend, you have it. If you have a church, your little group will not be perfected, will not be built up towards fullness until, my friend, you get a pastor and a teacher, or both could be in one office. So don't you let anybody tell you that you can have a sheepfold without a shepherd. It's not going to work. Also, these churches are weak churches. They are shepherdless churches, and they don't live very long without getting sick. Many of these little groups are led by men and women who want to be pastors, who want to lead, who want to control, but they are not called to be pastors. They do not have a pastor's heart. So it'd be best for some of these Christians in these groups to find out where their pastor is at, where their shepherd is at, and get him. Because where God has a shepherd, my friend, there Jesus will work wonderfully. Oh, yes, there are millions of people, of Christians, who have not been to church for years and years. They've been to a building, they've been to a place where there is a beautiful spire, where there are stained glass windows, a preacher, choir, lovely pews, and all that. But if Jesus was not there, my friend, in that building, you have not been to church. No, not as far as Jesus is concerned. That's why you're disappointed. That's why your needs are not being met. And you have not really been in church. You have been in a building. You have gone through a ritual or entertainment, but you have not been with Jesus. And what you need to do in these cases is get together with two or three Christians in your congregation and pray that Jesus will be able to get into that church building, or you just have to go and start looking where the man of God is at, who is under Jesus' authority to find your church. Now, let's go to the second phrase of our text. The first one was, and Jesus entered again into the synagogue. And then it says, and there was a man there which had the withered hand. My friend, this tells us that it was a smart thing to go to Jesus' church. If you go where Jesus is, my friend, you're going to get some help. You're going to get a blessing. You're going to get some answers to your prayers. You're going to get some healing. You're going to get some restoration. You're going to get some salvation and sanctification. You're going to get some encouragement. You're going to be fed. The man with the withered hand got some help by going to church where Jesus was. Oh, what if he had stayed home with his company that came to his house on the Sabbath day? He would have had a crippled hand the rest of his life. What if he would have said, I have a headache, I don't feel like going today? He would have been crippled the rest of his life. What if he had followed his boss, who said, I want you to work on Sunday? And if he would have gone to work, he would have been crippled the rest of his life. What if he had said, I had very little sleep last night, I need to sleep in this morning? My friend, had he missed that church service where Jesus was at, he would have missed his healing. He would have been crippled the rest of his life. If he would have had an argument on his way to church with his sweetheart and decided to turn back home, he would have missed the healing of his hand. This man got help by going to church. And the reason why he got help, my friend, in that church service is, number one, because Jesus was there. And number two, because he had an obedient heart. He was willing to obey and do whatever Jesus would ask him to do. So when Jesus asked him to stand forth, he did. When Jesus asked him to stretch out his hand, he did. And because of that obedience to Jesus, he was healed on that Sabbath day. Oh, dear one, I gave you two reasons why you have not gotten any help in what you call church. Two reasons. Number one, Jesus was not there and has not been there for a long time. And the second is, Jesus was there, but you have not obeyed him. You have not done what he told you to do. So, if you had neither Jesus in your church, nor if you have not obeyed him, you still have a withered hand. You still have a broken heart. You still have a cold marriage. You still have finances that are in the red. You're still unsaved, unsanctified, unblessed, and all you can do is complain about the church. Stop complaining about your church, period. You'll never get anywhere to any of God's blessings if you complain about anybody or anything. So stop complaining and pray about God's direction so he can show you where Jesus is, because only where he's at, there you will be able to have church, and your needs will be met. Thank you for listening to the Call to Obedience radio message. I am Pastor Schulze. Goodbye now, until next week.